Lord, it is a privilege to be here in this place. And I know that no matter whether we know you this morning or we don't know you this morning, we all need to hear from you. It is your voice, it is your presence that we all need. In the midst of so many voices, so many people telling us what to think, where to go, what to do, Lord, it is only your voice that matters. And so, because we are here, I ask that you'd calm our hearts. Help us to listen carefully to everything you are saying to us. And may we respond with faith. A little bit or a lot. Help us to respond with faith. God, we worship you this morning. Amen. So we're continuing on in our series, and our series right now is based on our vision as a church. Our vision as a church is that everyone is a faith trainer. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, it is our hope as a church that we can develop in you the desire and the ability to train others in the faith. Now, last week, we looked at training by inviting, and you might recall that in order for that to be effective, it has to be intentional, it has to be individual, inspirational, insistent, and there has to be an actual invitation given to someone in order to move on to the next level. That was last week. This week, we are moving on to training by teaching. And I realize, as we begin, I have at least two obstacles to overcome this morning with many of us. And this is the first one. Many of us have recollections about teaching that are not entirely positive. There are teachers in this room, and I'm sure none of you ever treat your students like this, but some of you have been treated like this. So as soon as I say the word teaching, you are already looking up football scores from yesterday on your phone. You've checked out. So please, come back to me. Come back to me. And let's go through this together, because God has some very interesting things to say about teaching. Now, some of you may be familiar with this poem, and some of you may be familiar with this technique in teaching. I think I've used this poem before. Ram it in, jam it in, students' heads are hollow. Cram it in, slam it in, there's more to follow. It's some teacher's creed. Not any good teachers in here, but some teacher's creed. And so this is what you think of when you think of teaching. And so the idea of talking about teaching for the next half an hour may be somewhat troublesome for you. But I think about my life, and I think about how I am the product so much of the teachers in my life. Not necessarily official teachers, not necessarily people with positions. I think of my grandpa, who would show up on my doorstep in the summertime and say, "You know what, it's a nice day, I feel like going fishing, you want to come?" I don't ever remember saying no to my grandpa when it came to fishing. We'd take off. So he taught me how to fish, he taught me how to hunt. I remember my youth group leader teaching me how to sacrifice for others. One time, he drove me all by myself to a Christian rock concert in Edmonton, 3 hours to get there. Just me. 3 hours there, 3 hours back. All by himself. And he did that just for this cowboy. Now that's sacrifice. And he taught me that, you know what, sometimes it's worth it. You sacrifice. Another person taught me how to love people who are struggling with mental illness. And he loved people with mental illness. And it taught me that, okay, yeah, they were worthy of love too. That's fantastic. Another taught me, as I've mentioned before, another taught me how to minister to people who are in grief. And he taught me how to minister to people in grief by being silent. And I could go through all the list of all the people who've taught me. And right now, can you think of the people who have invested in you? That you could honestly say you are the person you are today because someone took the time to teach you. Isn't most of what we know because someone took the time to write it down or demonstrate it or to teach it to us? Someone did that. Most of what we know, right? Very little of what I know is through self-discovery. I'm just not that smart. I need someone to show me, to teach me. And I'm guessing I'm not the only one in this room like that. Teaching develops us. It grows us. It matures us. In fact, when it comes to what teaching can do, I would go so far as to say this. I would say teaching turns the tide. Now, I grew up in Alberta. Bodies of water do not move. So when I moved here to Nanaimo, man, that was weird. The water would just suck away like a bathtub, man. It was strange. Now, if you've ever come from the prairies or from non-coastal areas, you know this is amazing. When I look out in the bay and I see the water moving in and out, you know how much raw energy it takes? Try this sometime. Take 2 5-gallon pails full of water and start walking. See how far you get. It takes an enormous amount of energy, does it not, to move a little bit of water? Think about the billions of gallons of water. I'm talking old school now, not liters, okay? Gallons of water, billions, that move around this planet simply because of the moon. Isn't that amazing? And energy moves in the direction of what draws it. So in our life, energy moves in our life towards what's drawing us. But teaching is so powerful that you can look at someone and you can help them turn the tide in their life, change whatever it is that is drawing their energy through good teaching, giving them hope, freedom from darkness to light, changing their worldview. But the question becomes, in this room, who is qualified to teach? Have you ever asked yourself that? Who is qualified to teach? Is it just this cowboy? This guy up here? I mean, I got the degree, right? That must qualify me, right? Say no. Please say no. Thank you. Let's take a look at what the Bible actually says. This could be surprising, but it answers the question, who is qualified to teach? Watch this now. It says, a servant of the Lord. Are you a servant of the Lord this morning? Some of you are a little scared to admit it so far. Because you're not sure where those dots are leading to. Are you a servant of the Lord this morning?
Yes.
All right. A servant of the Lord must do what? You might think, oh, well, must go to church, must read their Bible, must pray, must give to the church. That may be the stuff that you're thinking right now. That must be the dot, dot, dot. The Lord's servant must do those things. It's not where it goes. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Well, that's a good start, don't you think? I mean, you don't want servants of the Lord being jerks. You want them to be kind to everyone, not quarreling. By the way, this is good advice for all of you on Facebook. The Lord's servant must not make fights on Facebook or over coffee, not quarrel. The Bible has a lot to say about quarreling, but that's another subject right now. The servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Dot, 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 where else is this going now? This is where it gets really surprising. It says, a servant of the Lord must be able to teach. A servant of the Lord must be able to teach and be patient with difficult people. And it goes on and says, gently instruct, to teach and to instruct those who oppose the truth. Now watch how teaching turns the tide in someone's life. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. For they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. Do you see the power of teaching? Do you see the power of instructing? You can actually set people free from Satan's ownership. Are you amazed at that? Nod your head if you're amazed at that. That is, to me, profound. Oh, the fact that teaching can set people free, people that we love. People that we care about, people that we're married to, people that we've given birth to, they can be set free through teaching. It changes the tide in their lives. That's amazing. Everyone, a faith trainer, is our vision. Everyone. Why? Because teaching is so powerful. Training is so powerful. It sets people free. Now, if we want to be effective teachers, if we want to be effective instructors, there are five things the Bible teaches us, at least five things, for us to be effective. And we're going to walk through each of those, and then I'm going to give you some instructions and where to begin. Are you ready? Here we go. First of all, teaching must be purposeful. Teaching is purposeful. Jesus was the master teacher. And he turned the tide in many people's lives. And he spoke with authority. He was completely intentional, purposeful about what he did. Most people, when they think of Jesus teaching, they think of Jesus teaching the crowds. You know, the big Sermon on the Mount, that kind of thing and all that jazz? This is what it says. Mark 9, leaving that region, they, Jesus and his disciples, traveled through Galilee. Jesus didn't want anyone to know he was there, for he wanted to spend more time with his disciples and what? And teach them. Jesus actually left the crowds behind at times, walked away, and he said, the future of this movement called the Way is going to be in the hands of these 12 dudes, not in the crowd. So he said, I am going to spend some extra time teaching them because they have got to know about the kingdom. So he would ditch the crowd. He didn't leave growth up to chance. Hope was not a strategy. He had a plan. And, you know, out in our entrance, we have a bunch of resources. And those resources are to help anyone in this church to be a faith trainer. They're there for anyone who says, I want to be intentional about training people. I want to be intentional about teaching people. I'm not just going to leave it up to chance. Teaching has to be purposeful even in parenting. It has to be. I don't know of any parent in the church who doesn't want their children to grow up following Jesus. And yet so often they have no plan, no intentionality on helping that child. Their plan seems to be, let someone else do it. And I'll tell you, no one has more spiritual clout in a child's life than their parents. No one. No one. And if the entire plan is, let's let someone else do it, their youth group leader, their kids' church leader, whatever it may be, it will not be nearly as effective as the parent who says, this is my role, this is my responsibility. I'm going to be purposeful, I'm going to be intentional about this. When it comes to our Connect program, all our small groups, the one thing that's holding every church that I've been to, the one thing that holds growth back is a lack of teachers. It's a lack of teachers. It's a lack of people who say, oh, right, I'm a follower of Jesus. This is my job. I'm to teach. I'm to instruct. And so we end up with a whole bunch of people in small groups who think they're a lifelong student. Right? I'm not picking on people. I'm not. I'm not here to put you down or make you feel bad. I'm just saying this is what the Bible says. We are to be teachers. And you know what? In every connect group, if just one person said, you know what? I'm going to move from student to teacher. Guess what would happen? The number of groups available to people to join would double. Just like that. Just one in each group. Imagine if everyone in the group said, I'm going to kind of do what the Bible says. I'm going to teach. And I'll talk about, that may seem a little overwhelming. I'll get to how you can do that later. So don't worry about it for now. But there's always, it seems to be, a lack of teachers. So teaching has to be purposeful. There has to be a plan. It has to be intentional. Second of all, teaching has to be practical. See, Jesus didn't just teach in a classroom setting, right, with his disciples. It's really amazing to me that he made it so practical. And he let them practice. Watch this. This is a bit of a mystery to me. It says, Jesus and his disciples left Jerusalem and went into the Judean countryside. Jesus spent some time with them there baptizing people. Now, just reading that, you would think, well, of course, Jesus is the leader, right? So he's out baptizing people. You know, people are coming to him and they want a relationship with him and they're repenting of their sins. And so, of course, Jesus being the leader, the spiritual guy, he's going to baptize them, right? But you read on further and you find out this. Jesus knew the Pharisees and heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. And then there's this little note that John makes. He says, although Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. Even when it came to baptizing, Jesus said, I don't need to do this. I'm going to let you do this. He made the teaching practical. He didn't just talk about it. He said, go ahead and do it. And next week we're going to be looking at how Jesus delegated. This is just the beginning. But Jesus made his teaching very practical. Which is why here at Nanaimo Alliance Church, our whole philosophy states that the people who are on staff are not the ones who do all the baptizing or all the visiting or all the counseling. Because we want to follow in Jesus' steps and allow other people to minister and to be partnering with God to do things. Right? Amen! Yeah! I mean, our teaching has to be practical. I think, you know, and this brings us to one of the second obstacles I have with this particular message. First of all, some of you have had bad experiences with teachers. Second of all, some of you have been taught in the church that ministry is only for the super spiritual and those with titles. And that is a difficult thing to overcome when you've been taught that for decade after decade after decade. Meanwhile, the Bible's saying, even Jesus didn't do that. He let the disciples baptize. He let that ministry get out there. And we'll talk more about that later. And so some people, when it comes to following Jesus, they think they're only spectators. They're here to observe. Teach and send. Teach and send. Teach and send. That is what we do here. That's what it's all about. So teaching has to be practical. Number three. Teaching is prideless. Teaching is prideless. Now, why use a made-up word like prideless? For obvious reasons. All of these begin with P. And so I could have said teaching is humble, but it doesn't start with P, so it's prideless, okay? That is now a new word. That's a Nanaimo Alliance Church original. It is prideless. All right, here we go. So teaching is prideless. What do I mean by that? Jesus talked often about how dependent he was on the Father. He talked about how what he said, what he did, was dependent on his Father's leading. There was no pride there. Now, I want to direct your attention to Colossians 3 because it gives us a two-step thing to do when it comes to teaching. It says, watch this now. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. That's step number one. And I'm glad you're here this morning because this is a big step. You're hearing the message of Christ. Let it fill your life. Breathe it in deeply this morning. When you're reading Scripture, let it change you. When you're praying, let God speak to you. Let the message about Christ permeate every part of your life. Let just marinate in the message. Okay? That's step number one. Now watch this. Teach and counsel each other. Teach and counsel each other. Now, I just want to stop there for a second. The answer to the question, who should teach? The answer is, if you're a follower of Jesus, I should. Who should teach? Let's do it again. Who should teach?
I should.
Who should counsel?
I should.
You got it. Teach and counsel each other how? With all the wisdom he gives. There's a pridelessness, a humility to teaching. There's a dependence upon God. When we are faith training someone else, there's this constant, God, show me what to do. And any of you have ever taught, I don't have to tell you this, you've probably done a few God help prayers, right? Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. You know that if you, look, I've got nothing to offer you this morning. I don't. You don't need to hear anything from Tracy Ottenbright. Not a word. What you need and what I need comes from our Father. So I am to teach and counsel you with all the wisdom that God provides. You are to go out and teach those around us with all the wisdom that God gives you. But there's a pridelessness to it. There's a humility. Next, number four out of five. So teaching is purposeful, teaching is practical, teaching is prideless, and teaching is perpetuating. Perpetuating. Everything in our faith has been passed along like a link in a chain. You know, you are here this morning because you are part of a long chain link going all the way back to Jesus. Someone taught someone else who taught someone else who taught someone else who taught you. And here you are. It's perpetuating. It has to be perpetuating. Watch this. 2 Timothy 2:2. You have heard me teach these things, Paul's writing to Timothy, that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach. Now teach these truths. To who? To other trustworthy people. Okay, good. Teach them to other trustworthy people. Oh, not done yet. Who will be able to pass them on to others. When we teach, when we are faith training, we need to make it clear when we are teaching other people that this is not just for you. I think too often we can sit in a setting like this and think, this sermon is just for my own growth. It is for your growth. It's not just for your own growth. We are to pass along what we have learned to the people around us. Could be a little snippet, a little thing here and there, and we just pass it along. Now let's make this really personal. All you parents out there, when you pass along your faith to your child, isn't it your hope that they will pass that faith on to your grandchildren? See, we need to make that clear, that when we are teaching, this is not just for you. And in fact, those of you who are teachers in this room know that you really understand something better when you've taught it. It's the great test. How really well do you understand this? Can you teach it? And when you take that time to teach it, it solidifies in our minds. Pass on what you know. So, teaching is purposeful, teaching is practical, Teaching is prideless. Teaching is perpetuating. And then we get to the really mysterious one. Teaching is progressive. Along the lines, the disciples noticed something that Jesus was doing, and it puzzled them. They found out that Jesus was using two different teaching manuals when it came to how he treated people. He used one teaching manual for the crowds and one teaching manual for the disciples. And so they asked him. They got a little curious one day. He said, "You know, why do you do this?" Here we go. His disciples came and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you talk to the people? Why are you using that manual?" Jesus replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not." What? You saying Jesus is keeping secrets? Yeah. Why? What's the criteria? He said, "To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them." Did you notice what the criteria was between which manual Jesus chose to use? Was it their intelligence level? Their spirituality? How often they attended synagogue? How much they gave to their synagogue? What was the criteria? Listening. How much listening takes place. See, God has boundaries. This is the amazing thing. This is a bit mysterious to me. I'm still figuring this one out. But God has boundaries. He doesn't force teaching on us. He makes it available to those who want it. Which is why Jesus often used words like hunger, thirst, seek. He used words that implied there's some work that needs to be done. There's some pursuing that needs to take place. And let's be honest. Can I be really honest with you for a second? In a crowd like this, there are those who are listening. Thank you. It's two of you. And there are those who are not listening. They're checked out. Maybe they came here out of habit. Maybe they got dragged here by their spouse or their parent. They're not listening. And according to what Jesus said, they'll forget everything that took place here this morning. Everything that was said. It'll be gone. How tragic. And it's all a matter of how much we are listening, how much we are really wanting to take things in. Sometimes we listen just with intellectual ears. We think that the Christian life is all about what I know. When it comes to listening to a message, it's not about what you know. It's about how much you want to grow. See? Becoming like Jesus. And so, you know, some people come in, they'll take all their notes, and they learn lots of things, but their lives don't change. They're not really listening to God. They're listening for information. They're gleaning for information. But since when did Christianity become about information? Christianity is about relationship. It's about experience. It's about what God is saying to you and I this morning, is it not? Yeah. Teaching is progressive. Jesus is saying, when we are teaching people, they need to understand that they will get out of it what they are putting into it. And if they are really hungry for God, they will find him. If they turn off their ears, they're just going through the motions. Let's just get through this lesson. They'll get nothing out of it. We know this from experience, do we not? How many people show up Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and they're growing? And then another person will listen to the same messages that the other person is, and they walk out the same person every time. Because they're not listening. Well, they might be listening to the pastor. But I already told you, I got nothing for you. Are they listening to our Father who is speaking through the Spirit? So, God responds to desire, not habit. Did you hear what I said? God responds to desire, not habit. Teaching turns the tide. If we want to see lives change, we want to see God's power through teaching, it has to be purposeful. It has to be practical. It has to be prideless. We need to tell people it needs to be perpetuating and that it's progressive. So what can we do? What can we do? There are three things that you and I can do starting today. If you want to be a faith trainer, there are three things that you can do today to get going. Are you ready? Here they are. First of all, start small. See, the problem is, often when we think of, when you hear a pastor say, oh, you need to train others in your faith, you're thinking like, stand up in front of this group and start talking? That's terrifying. Terrifies me every Sunday. You're welcome. Start small. Think one. Do you have one person in your life? Child, parent, someone, one, just one. Who could you teach? Who could you train? Who could you mentor in the faith? You don't have to be a spiritual giant. In fact, I'm convinced, I'm going to really walk on the edge here, I think you don't even need to know Jesus to start training others in the faith. You just need to be one step ahead of the person you're training. One step. That's it. Bring them along. Just one. So start small. Can you do that? Unconvinced. Can you do that?
Yes.
Can you start small?
Yes.
All right. So first of all, start small. But second of all, start close. See, the other problem that we often encounter is when it comes to faith training, people often think, oh man, I got to like sit down with a complete stranger and start telling them about my faith. What am I going to do? Well, not necessarily. I mean, the Holy Spirit can ask you to do that, sure. But that may not be the best place to start. Start with the people you're close to, that you already have a relationship with. Start small and start close. Could be in your family. Could be people that you're working with. Could be in your neighborhood, but people that you already spend time with. Start there. Take down the intimidation factor. And you know, when you start small and you start close, and you see that God can use you to train other people in their faith, it gives you some confidence. Gives you some trust that God can actually use you. Start small, start close, one more. Start now. All too often, we don't realize how quickly time is passing. I woke up this morning, and I have one less day of my life left. You do too. In a conference that I was just at, not that long ago, a couple weeks ago, he said, we're all dying. We are. We're all dying. Time is running out. And if we're going to be the teachers, the counselors, the instructors that the Bible says that we are as followers of Jesus, what are we waiting for? It's never too late, by the way. No matter where you're at, it's never too late. God can use you right now to teach someone, train someone. Teaching has to be purposeful, practical, prideless, progressive, and perpetuating. It's so powerful. Teaching turns the tide. Here's what I believe. I believe that when someone becomes a follower of Jesus, they're handed a teaching certificate. Jesus hands every follower of his a teaching certificate. You are fully qualified to teach. That's what the Bible says. And what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? I believe in my heart that every follower of Jesus in this room really wants their lives to make a difference. I do. I don't believe you're here thinking, boy, I really want my life to be a waste. Right? And I already believe this. If you are a follower of Jesus this morning, you have a teacher inside of you. Just waiting to come out. Just waiting to be freed. Just waiting to make a difference in someone's life. Start small, start close, and start now. Don't wait. Some of us have waited so long already. But the Bible says you are a teacher. You are fully qualified to teach. My hope is that when you and I, as followers of Jesus, are in eternity, He would give me so much joy to watch you. As people walk up to you and they say, thank you so much for taking the time to teach me. I would not be here today if it wasn't for you. That's my hope for you. That's what I want for you. And I think you want that too. Start small. Start close. Start now. Faith training by teaching is a step of faith in God. It says, I trust God's power in me, His call in my life, and I trust He'd never ask me to do something that is not ultimately in my best interest and in the best interest of the people that I love. I can trust Him. Can you trust that there is a teacher inside of you waiting to be free? That's my hope in this series, is that teacher would be free. Let's pray. Lord, in this room are people who, when they hear the word teacher or teaching, it sends a shiver down their spine. I ask, Lord, that you would heal that part of them, that they would see how powerful teaching can be. And Lord, I know that there are people in this room who have been taught directly or indirectly that teaching is for the super spiritual, the people with titles, the people with degrees. Lord, I ask that you'd free their minds from such bondage, that you would free them to start small and start close and to start now. Teaching someone else. Give them the courage this week to just ask, hey, would you mind if we just spend some time together? I feel like I want to teach you something. Lord, may we as a church be courageous. May we see ourselves as teachers, as people who are witnesses of the faith, willing to pass that along in this long chain of teaching that has brought us here. May we add a few links of our own. May we be overwhelmed by your love that would cast out all fear, as we sang about earlier, so that we would not be afraid to be the teachers you've called us to be. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.